Imagine making the perfect sale. You know, you've acquired the customer, you packed this beautiful product, you shipped it out ahead of the schedule, and then
And then you look at the final numbers.
exactly. You look at the numbers and realize a 3-inch gap of empty air inside your shipping box just ate 40% of your profit margin.
Yeah, which happens literally thousands of times a day.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Welcome to today's deep dive, where we are looking at the invisible world of small business shipping logistics. We are pulling directly from this highly practical guide from Freightcom. It's called the Small Business Shipping Audit 1.0.
Right.
And our mission today for you, the listener, is to uncover these logistics leaks that are hiding in plain sight, the ones that are just quietly draining your bank account and, frankly, eroding customer trust.
It's such a timely topic too, because if you are looking at your balance sheet right now and, wondering where your margins went, you are definitely not alone. Shipping just isn't a static line item anymore. It's a super dynamic, volatile variable. And the psychological trap I see constantly is that small to medium-sized business owners, they treat logistics like the weather.
Oh, like it's just happening to them.
Exactly. They think, well, fuel costs are up, carrier rates are up. There's nothing I can do but grab an umbrella and pay the invoice. But that is a complete myth. You actually have an immense amount of control over this.
I like to look at it through the lens of a leaky faucet. Like when you're running a business,
Hmm.
you don't really notice the slow drip of 10 cents here or, 50 cents there on individual packages. It blends into the background noise. But at the end of the month, that accumulated drip hits you like a massive flood on your balance sheet.
And the whole premise of this Freightcom audit is that taking just 15 minutes to systematically walk through your process can basically fix the plumbing for the entire year.
So let's start with the very first place a leak occurs, which actually happens long before a delivery truck ever pulls up to your dock.
Right.
It begins with the physical object sitting on your packing table. You have to scrutinize the package itself. Okay, let's pull on that thread. Because the audit stresses something called dim weight or dimensional weight.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fundamental rule of shipping has always felt like it's just about the scale. Heavy things cost more, light things cost less.
Right.
But dim weight completely flips that logic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And understanding the math behind dim weight is probably the single most profitable realization a business owner can have. Think about the physical constraints of, like, a cargo plane or a delivery truck.
Okay.
They almost always run out of space before they run out of weight capacity. So if you ship a featherlight decorative pillow in a massive 2-foot by 2-foot box, you are taking up valuable cubic volume.
Oh, I see.
The carrier could have fit 20 small, heavy boxes of electronics in that exact same space.
So, to compensate for that lost real estate, the carrier charges you for the space you occupy, not the mass of the item.
Precisely.
It's like playing a high-stakes game of Tetris, but if your block is mostly empty space, you're paying a huge penalty for it.
Yeah, that is a great way to visualize it. So carriers calculate dim weight by multiplying the length, width, and height of your package, and then dividing that number by a standard dim divisor, which varies by carrier.
Right.
They then compare that dimensional weight to the actual physical weight on the scale, and they charge you whichever number is higher, period.
Wait, whichever is higher.
Whichever is higher. So if you are using a one-size-fits-all box for everything you sell, you are literally paying to ship invisible air.
Wow. Which brings us to the audit solution, which is this right-sizing philosophy. And the huge component of that is the flat product rule.
Yes.
The guide suggests that if you are shipping apparel or documents or lightweight, non-fragile goods, you need to just ruthlessly eliminate rigid cardboard boxes from your supply chain.
Because the moment you switch from a rigid box to, say, a poly mailer or a padded bubble envelope, you fundamentally alter that dim weight equation we just talked about.
Because it's smaller.
Because mailers conform to the exact shape of the product, there is zero wasted volume. Plus, they inherently weigh less on the physical scale, and modern poly mailers are, incredibly resilient against moisture and tearing.
Right, and right sizing isn't just about the outer shell either. It's what goes inside. The audit brings up dunnage. And for anyone unfamiliar with the industry jargon, dunnage is the filler,
Yeah.
like the packing peanuts, the miles of crinkled paper, the bubble wrap you stuff in there to keep things from rattling around.
And if you are relying on heaps of traditional dunnage to fill the void in an oversized box, you're just compounding your losses.
Right, because of the dim weight.
Exactly. You're paying for the empty space via dim weight, and you're paying for the physical weight of the filler itself. So the shift we're seeing now is moving toward custom fit inserts or automated void fill machines that use minimal lightweight air pillows.
Let's scale this up for a second, though, because the audit isn't just talking about individual parcels.
Mm.
It specifically targets LTL shipping, which is less than truckload, where you are shipping entire pallets of goods.
Right.
The physical reality of a pallet is just as crucial as a cardboard box, right? The guide mentions checking pallet conditions specifically.
It's totally vital because when you ship LTL, your loaded pallet is sharing the trailer with pallets from 5 or 10 other companies.
Okay.
Carriers use forklifts to rapidly move these around their distribution hubs. If you use a cheap, degraded, or like rotting wooden pallet, the carrier's forklift might splinter it.
Oh, man.
And when that happens, the carrier has to stop their automated workflow, physically unstack your hundreds of pounds of goods, and restack them onto a secure pallet.
And I'm guessing they don't do that out of the goodness of their hearts.
Not a chance. You will be hit with a massive labor and rehandling fee. Or worse, the pallet collapses in transit and just crushes your inventory.
So the foundation of the audit really is physical discipline. You know, right-size the box, eliminate the air, upgrade the mailers, and ensure your LTL pallets are structurally sound.
Exactly.
But obviously, a perfectly engineered box is completely useless if you hand it over to the wrong transportation network.
Which is the second major leak, relying on a single carrier. It is an incredibly pervasive habit in the SMB space.
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate here for a minute.
Yeah.
From a pure operations standpoint, it seems logical to stick with one carrier.
Sure.
You have one account manager, one daily pickup time, and intuitively, it just feels like giving all your volume to one company would earn you loyalty perks or volume discounts. Like, why scatter your shipments to the wind?
Because loyalty to a single carrier is a luxury that small businesses simply cannot afford. I mean, unless you are shipping tens of thousands of packages a month, your individual volume is a drop in the ocean to a massive national carrier.
Right.
You aren't going to get their top-tier discounts on your own.
Hmm.
Furthermore, no single carrier is the most cost-effective option for every single route, every weight class, and every delivery speed.
So how do you actually solve that? Because manually opening 5 different carrier websites to compare rates for every single order sounds like a total administrative nightmare.
Oh, it would be. And this is where modern shipping management platforms change the game. By utilizing a centralized platform, you aren't just comparing rates. You are unlocking aggregated bulk buying power.
Okay.
A platform like Freightcom negotiates with the major carriers on behalf of tens of thousands of SMBs simultaneously.
Ah, I see. So the platform walks into the carrier's office with the combined volume of 50,000 small businesses and basically says, give us your enterprise level discount. Mm-hmm. And then they pass that enterprise rate down to the individual user.
Precisely. You get the pricing power of a giant corporation, even if you are only shipping 10 boxes a day. And the platform's algorithm instantly matches your specific package parameters to the ideal carrier.
And the audit lays out some really clear parameters for making those matches, especially when you're deciding between parcel couriers and LTL freight. It notes that LTL is typically the sweet spot for shipments between 110,000 pounds, which usually means roughly 1 to 6 pallets.
Yeah, if you try to send a 400-pound shipment across the country via a standard parcel courier, the cost will be astronomical.
Right.
But LTL exists specifically for this midweight tier. It operates on a hub-and-spoke model. So your single pallet goes onto a truck, shares the ride to a central terminal, gets sorted, and moves to the destination along with other pallets heading the same way. You are splitting the fuel and driver costs with everyone else on that truck.
That makes a lot of sense. The guide also emphasizes looking at regional carriers versus national ones, because I think we all default to the big famous brand names with the recognizable trucks.
Oh, completely. But regional carriers often dominate specific geographic zones. They might only deliver in the Pacific Northwest or, you know, the Northeast Corridor.
Right.
But because their infrastructure is so dense in those specific areas, their next day delivery rates within that zone can vastly undercut the national giants. If you aren't diversifying, you literally leave that money on the table.
Okay, so we've locked down the physical box, and we've mathematically proven the best truck to put it on. But the audit brings up a third trap that can completely derail the first two optimizations, the paperwork.
Oh, yes.
They call it the documentation and accuracy drill.
Because you can have a flawlessly packed box on the cheapest possible truck, but if the data attached to it is compromised, the entire supply chain just grinds to a halt.
It's like spending millions to build a high-speed bullet train, but laying down the tracks in the wrong direction. The whole effort is totally negated by a bad roadmap.
That's a great analogy.
And the audit points out that documentation errors are the leading cause of delays in administrative fees. We're talking about basic address validation here, right?
Basic, but so often neglected. Let's look at the mechanics of a typo. A customer accidentally transposes two digits in their zip code at checkout. The label prints, the carrier picks it up. When that package hits the automated sorting facility, the system flags a routing error. The package is physically pulled off the line, placed in an exception bin, and a human employee at the carrier facility has to research and correct the address.
Wow.
And the carrier is going to charge you an address correction fee, which is often around $20 just for that manual intervention.
$20 instantly wiped out from your margin over a single typo. That is brutal. So the fix is utilizing software that pings a global address database via API, like the millisecond the customer hits purchase.
Exactly.
Validating the suite number, the street, and the postal code before the label is even generated.
Yes. But the paperwork drill gets vastly more complicated when we return to LTL shipping because of something called LTL freight classes. This is where small businesses just hemorrhage money through pure guesswork.
Let's dig into that, because I know LTL doesn't just charge by weight. The guide lists density, stowability, handling, and liability. Explain how those actually dictate the cost.
Okay, imagine two pallets. Pallet A is loaded with cast iron dumbbells. It is incredibly heavy, but it takes up very little space.
Right, super dense.
Exactly. Pallet B is loaded with fully assembled, awkward lawnmowers. Pallet B might weigh less, but its stowability is terrible.
Because they're bulky.
Right, and the carrier can't stack anything on top of those lawnmowers without damaging them. So the carrier is essentially losing all the vertical space above pallet B all the way to the ceiling of the trailer.
That makes perfect sense. They have to charge you for the space they can't use.
Yes. The National Motor Freight Classification System uses these exact factors to assign your shipment a specific class code. The problem occurs when a shipper just guesses their class code to get a cheaper upfront quote.
Let me guess. Mm-hmm. The carrier doesn't just take your word for it.
They absolutely do not. When your pallet reaches the carrier's distribution terminal, they drive it onto a highly calibrated scale, and they use overhead lasers to instantly calculate the cubic dimensions.
Overhead lasers. Wow.
Yeah, it's highly technical. And if your stated dimensions, weight, or freight class are wrong, they hit you with a reweigh or reclassification fee. It is punitive, and it will destroy the profitability of that order. You must have a tape measure and a reliable scale on your loading dock.
And the stakes are even higher with cross-border shipping. The audit explicitly states that missing invoices or incomplete customs forms are the number one cause of international border holds.
Mm-hmm. Because when customs paperwork is incomplete, your package doesn't just get delayed. It is physically placed in a holding cage at a border facility.
Like a literal cage.
A literal cage. It sits there gathering dust until your team receives a notification, tracks down the missing commercial invoice or origin certificate, and transmits it to the customs broker.
And meanwhile, your international customer is checking their tracking app and seeing their package mysteriously stuck at the border for 10 days.
Exactly. It kills trust.
Which perfectly sets up the next crucial phase of the audit. If human hands typing addresses and manually generating customs invoices are causing these massive bottlenecks, the obvious solution is to remove the human element entirely. The fourth step is the tech stack and automation scan.
Right, because manual data entry is fundamentally incompatible with modern logistics. If you have an employee copying and pasting addresses from a Shopify order screen into a carrier's label generator, you are operating in the dark ages.
But let me pause you there, because I know everyone listening already has a bloated software stack. They're paying for their website host, their CRM, their accounting software. Hearing upgrade your tech stack usually translates to add another expensive monthly subscription.
Mm.
Isn't the goal here to reduce costs?
That is the profound irony of the current shipping software market. Many business owners are paying $50, $100, or $200 a month for shipping platforms when they absolutely do not need to.
Right.
The audit strongly recommends reviewing your billing to find these leaks, because platforms exist today that offer enterprise-grade automation for zero upfront cost and zero monthly subscription fees.
That's wild. How is that even sustainable for the platform?
They make their margin on the aggregate volume with the carriers, not by nickel and diming the small business with software subscription fees.
Oh, that makes total sense.
So what should this free technology actually be doing for you? First, it needs to integrate directly with your storefront, whether that's WooCommerce, Magento, Shopify, whatever.
Right, so the API connects the shopping cart directly to the label printer. The customer's keystrokes become the label data. No copy-pasting, no transposing zip codes, zero chance of human error.
Yes, and that integration extends to customs forms, too. The software automatically pulls the product descriptions, tariff codes, and values from your inventory database to populate the commercial invoice flawlessly.
Amazing.
But beyond label generation, the software must centralize your tracking into a single dashboard.
Yeah, the guide calls real-time tracking an all but mandatory part of the modern customer journey, which is true. We live in an era where people track their pizza delivery turn by turn. They certainly expect to know exactly where a $300 jacket is.
And if you don't proactively tell them where it is, they will demand to know. This leads to the phenomenon known in the industry as WISMO, which stands for Where Is My Order?
The audit emphasizes automating notifications specifically to kill WISMO inquiries. What is the actual hidden cost of a customer sending a simple Where Is My Order email? It seems harmless enough.
Well, think about the compounding cost of that one question. An email comes in. Your customer service representative opens it. They have to switch tabs, log into your shipping portal, search the customer's name, find the tracking number, look up the status, type out an apologetic email, and hit send.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That might take 10 to 15 minutes. Multiply the hourly rate of that employee by hundreds of WISMO inquiries a week during a busy season.
It's basically an invisible tax on your payroll.
Exactly. But if your platform automatically triggers an email when the labels is printed, when the package hits the local hub, and when it's out for delivery, that WISMO email never gets written. The problem is solved before it exists.
Automation doesn't just speed up shipping. It protects your internal labor costs.
Totally.
Okay, so we've reached a point where the operation sounds bulletproof. We've right-sized our boxes, we're aggregating bulk carrier rates, our customs documents are flawless, and our software is doing all the heavy lifting for free. We've plugged every leak.
You've plugged every internal leak. But logistics does not exist in a vacuum, which brings us to the fifth and final area of the audit, the invisible traps.
Right.
Outside forces can still ambush your margins if you aren't vigilant about the calendar and the carrier's fine print.
Right. The seasonal and surcharge shield. Let's talk about how the calendar works against us, specifically regarding peak season surcharges.
Logistics networks are physical networks, right? They have finite capacity. During the winter holidays or massive spring retail surges, the volume of packages flooding the system exceeds the physical capacity of the trucks and sorting facilities.
Sure.
So to manage this demand and hire seasonal labor, carriers implement peak season surcharges. It is an additional fee slapped onto every single package. If you finalized your product pricing in July, but you ship it in late November, that sudden seasonal surcharge can instantly turn a profitable transaction into a net loss.
So you have to model those seasonal spikes into your pricing strategy well in advance.
Exactly.
But the guide also outlines permanent traps that exist year-round. It mentions large package surcharges, special handling fees, and residential delivery fees. Let's talk about the residential fee. I always assumed driving down a quiet suburban street and dropping a small box on a porch was infinitely easier for a driver than navigating a sprawling, chaotic corporate loading dock.
Right.
Why does the carrier punish residential deliveries?
It comes down to a metric called route density. Yes, navigating a loading dock takes a moment, but a driver might drop off 50 or 100 packages at that single commercial location. That is incredibly efficient.
Oh, I see.
Conversely, to drop off 50 residential packages, that same driver has to wind through 20 miles of cul-de-sacs, stopping and starting the engine 50 separate times, burning fuel, and spending hours on the road. The carrier passes the cost of that inefficiency on to you.
Wow. Okay, so if your storefront assumes a commercial delivery rate, but the customer enters a residential address, you eat that entire density penalty.
And that penalty can easily be $4 or $5 per package. If your net profit on a t-shirt is $8, a residential delivery fee just wiped out more than half of your profit.
That is insane.
You must ensure your software differentiates between residential and commercial addresses at the point of checkout so the customer pays the accurate rate, not you.
And special handling works on a similar logic, right? If you try to ship something unboxed or like a cylindrical tube that rolls around, it can't safely travel on a high-speed automated conveyor belt.
Yeah.
A human has to physically carry it across the sorting facility.
Yep, and you will be billed heavily for that manual labor. It all circles back to understanding the physical mechanics of the transportation network and adapting your practices to align with their efficiencies.
So bringing all of these threads together, doing a shipping audit is not about completely reinventing your business model over a grueling 3-month corporate retreat.
Not at all.
It's truly about taking just 15 minutes to evaluate these core areas.
It is entirely manageable. You look at your packaging sizes and stop paying to ship empty space. You break the single carrier habit and plug into a platform to aggregate volume discounts. You enforce a strict address validation process to eliminate administrative typos. You migrate to free automation software to kill those WISMO emails, and you constantly review carrier surcharge guides to ensure your pricing margins are insulated against route density and seasonal fees.
And as we touched on earlier, the source material explicitly notes that FreightCom's all-in-one platform is built to execute this exact playbook. They connect small businesses directly to North American couriers and LTL carriers, providing those enterprise-level discounted rates. And crucially, they provide the automated dashboard and storefront integrations with zero monthly subscription fees.
Yeah, by identifying and optimizing these specific leaks, literally any business can transform shipping from an uncontrollable passive expense into a highly streamlined, predictable advantage.
It's all about fixing the plumbing. And that leaves us with a final thought for you to ponder as you look over your own operations today. If a quick targeted audit of something as routine as the cardboard boxes leaving your warehouse can uncover this much hidden profit, what other unavoidable costs of doing business in your own life or career are actually just unaudited habits waiting to be optimized? Keep looking for the leaks, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.